Welcome back, everyone, to the A Healthy Idea podcast. This week, we're doing something a little different. Aman and I are actually going to talk about some of the more interesting stories from the digital health world in the past few weeks. I've dissected them, give her 2 cents on the topic, and hopefully keep you guys informed.
No, yeah, for sure. I am super excited to do this. I've been wanting to do it for a while, so I'm so glad that we're getting to chat about this week in digital health news.
Yeah, I can't wait either. So there's a few stories we're going to talk about, just to give an overview for everyone. So we're going to talk about 3 topics a day. We're going to talk about Prince Harry becoming a digital health executive, some of the findings and research from Q1 of 2021, digital health funding report, and as well as what percentage of female-led startups are actually receiving venture capital.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so for our first story, just get right into it. We have Prince Harry, also known as the Duke of Sussex, has joined a startup called BetterUp as its chief impact officer. And for those of you that don't know, BetterUp is a service that provides coaching and mental health services to its clients.
Yeah, so I found this really interesting, Nico, but I'd love to hear what you think first before I kind of give my 2 cents.
Yes.
This is so cool.
Yeah, so I guess I was surprised because it definitely came out with no warning. I knew they were coming. I knew Prince Harry and Meghan Markle were coming back to the U.S. When I first heard the news, I thought it was funny, and then I thought about it a bit more. And one thing that came to mind was actually, why did he decide to come in as an executive rather than join a venture fund or become an angel investor? Because he definitely has the net worth, and Meghan Markle also has quite a bit of money to her name as well. So they easily qualify to be accredited investors. So they very easily could have started investing right away when they first got to the US. And I'm sure everyone would be super excited to have the Duke and Duchess on their cap table. So I thought it was very interesting that he joined as a startup executive.
I completely agree with you. So actually, I was not aware of the story up until today. I find it a little surprising that it wasn't talked about more, but you're right. He didn't join as an investor. He joined as an executive. To me, what it means, at first in general, I was curious why he'd be interested in digital health, but the whole kind of fiasco around Meghan Markle leaving the royal family and not leaving it institutionally, but leaving the area and her battles with mental health and the whole interview, it made tons of sense why they'd want to participate. I think in general, it seems like very do good for the world, and he is as well, but I see this really hit home for them, for the country, for the world during COVID. But I could see why he wanted to join. The executive piece to me personally, I think is speaking more from a perspective around sponsorship in general for digital health and bringing in outside influencers. And I can go into that a little bit later, but I think it shows more commitment than simply just an investor. It shows that they want to participate as a more formal, almost a more active, formal person in the business. But you're right. An investor could technically do that.
That was just an initial thought. And then you just said something that kind of dawned on me is that I think it actually makes a lot of sense to come in. Well, let's just say this. If you're Prince Harry, you're either running your own company or you're an executive. There's no in between. You're not going to come in as a senior PM or an analyst for any company.
Yeah.
So you have to do something at the higher end. And let's not get it twisted that the Crown as an institution very much could be considered a business. And the events that they run, how they operate, how they manage public image, everything that. So very much he's been treated with the scrutiny of an executive almost his entire life. But what you said is just knowing what Meghan Markle's had to go through in England, I think it makes a lot of sense from a values perspective for him and Meghan. And two, I think chief impact officer specifically is one of those positions that can have a lot of upside, but not with a lot of downside. For example, if he comes in and he does a terrible job and nothing happens, the business isn't going to fail.
So you're saying that he joined as a chief impact officer. I missed this part. That's
yes,
awesome.
That was his title.
Interesting.
So that gives him this golden opportunity to learn the ropes. And if I think about chief impact, the first thing that comes to mind is doing outreach, doing that corporate investment, sustainability, investing in underserved communities or patients, things that. So a lot of the things that he naturally would have already done as part of the royal family, because I'm sure they do. I don't follow them too closely, but I'm sure they do plenty of philanthropy work in there as part of their job. So it would honestly just be an extension of that for...
Yeah. Honest, I don't follow it, but I am a fan of Meghan Markle. She is quite philanthropic. I assume they put stuff together. I've seen videos of them. They're Moroccan. They've gone to Morocco. They've helped out with a lot of organizations there. It's interesting that he joined as a chief impact officer. Personally, I've never heard of this kind of role ever in my life. So I found that interesting as well. But that might be a reason of why there's just so much interest. And yeah, I'm curious, what do you think joining is that? To me, it just speaks volumes of the contribution he wants to make. And his image and the attention that he brings as, I guess, a quote-unquote influencer in the world, it will definitely help bring the attention to BetterUp and what they're doing for mental health. It's interesting he chose that specific startup. I'm not sure why, but I assume that they're doing tons of work around mental health, and I'm sure there's a way that these people have differentiated themselves amongst others. My only add-on was, I've noticed this with other celebs. There is a company called Dexcom that does remote glucose monitoring. Mm-hmm. And Nick Jonas has been a sponsor for them. So Nick Jonas has taken more of an active kind of advertiser role, but he's brought up the entire diabetes journey and him dealing with type 1 diabetes and how he treats himself and monitors his glucose levels very publicly. Mm-hmm. And so I think what that does is it helps other people maintain, treat, care, encourage these kinds of behaviors. And sometimes it's useful to have these celebs and influencers take more of a active role in these kinds of digital health startups. If only there was something like this for COVID, I feel, or perhaps there was, I just missed it. There was so much naysayers and still naysayers about if COVID is real, or vaccine kind of hatred. I feel like there should be more. You should trust institutions, governments, but sometimes a celeb or an influencer or somebody else can make that message clearer.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Yeah, it's always interesting, and it depends on who you ask what that says about society when we listen to celebrities more than we might listen to certain institutions.
True.
But yeah,
Do you feel there was a choice for Prince Harry to choose? He could have chosen Talkspace, which I've used a lot throughout the pandemic, or he could have chosen another type of mental health-based company.
I don't know why he says he did it specifically. In this article from CNN that I'm looking at, it says Harry says that he's actually used BetterUp services. I don't know how true that is, or if that's a talking point that they came up with after he started conversating with them. I know he definitely could have joined pretty much any company, because there are plenty of companies trying to address this issue.
Mm-hmm. I guess it just showcases the amount of mental health startups that are out there for people to participate with and campaign for and help or become a chief impact officer. This is actually a great segue to the next piece, where we've had a whopping $7.1 billion this quarter of 2021 into digital health investments. What do you think about that, Nico?
Mm-hmm. What do I think? It's exciting. It's hard when you see some of these numbers, it's just hard to even start to imagine what that means from a scale perspective. Mm-hmm. Just to put that in perspective, digital health funding in Q1 of 2020, so right before COVID happened, was around $2.9 billion. So we're up 200% 1 year later, which is pretty crazy. Something that was also interesting from this report, and this comes from Mobi Health News, is that about 50% of all the funding in Q1 was raised by Series D and Series E companies. So companies that are post-product market fit, have paying customers, and I guess are just trying to really scale. Late-stage companies, they raised a ton of money, with the two biggest investments being Roe and Dixie, I believe is how I said. So Roe is, they offer direct-to-consumer virtual care for various conditions. So first they started with men's health, and it was erectile dysfunction and hair loss. Now they have these three subgroups, which is Roman, Rory, and Zero. And so they have now, this makes sense. So they have Roman, which is men, Rory for women, and then they have Zero, which is a smoking cessation program. So helping people quit smoking. So they actually raised $500 million in Q1.
Wow.
And then you also had Dixie, that's DXY, also raised $500 million. People just giving out, this seems to be the magic number. It's a company, it's based in China. It basically offers online platform for providers, healthcare, and health consumers. So it seems an all-in-one stop shop for health services, but based in China.
Mm-hmm. That is crazy. I personally, super optimistic. I think that there is just so much innovation happening in digital health. The crisis definitely added more attention to the needs of having digital technologies for health. But I think also the FDA has been a lot more helpful.
We have Dispatch Health, which helps patients request at-home urgent care through Dispatch. CityBlock, which is focused on addressing social determinants of health by using technology to help create support teams. Sidecar Health uses their app to customize the amount of annual healthcare coverage they would receive and whether they would coverage for certain prescriptions. So it seems to be a pick-your-own healthcare plan.
Mm-hmm.
And NovaSeer, which is a company that uses AI data to help unify healthcare data for easier healthcare management. RightWay, a company that makes a digital care navigation and pharmacy benefits. And then Carum, which is a digital marketplace that allows employers to purchase bundled healthcare services.
Wow, can I just say that is a lot of optimism for digital health by Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
Just wow.
It's a lot of money.
What do you think about that, Nico? That's a lot.
I think it's exciting. It makes sense. It's just so hard because when you start going through these stories, you start seeing more of the same companies just in different flavors. And I'm excited for it. And I think there's so much money flowing into it just because we've all now understand just how fragile the healthcare system is and how much better it could be for so many people. And there's just so much potentially be disrupted. So I think that's why we see so much money flowing into it, because it's $1 billion upon $1 billion industry. So if you could even capture a small share of that or sliver of that, you're going to have a few unicorns here and there, which is really exciting.
I absolutely think that. I think what we've seen in the tech world is that you have like a big three or four. You have like the Sequoias and then the benchmarks.
For me, I don't know, just because I wasn't keeping track of it before COVID. And I do know that so much regulation has been eased up because of COVID, whether it's practicing across state lines. That's the reason why teletherapy has gotten really popular, is now you can connect with therapists across different state lines, which was not the case beforehand. I don't know if they've done this with doctors, but traditionally every doctor has to be licensed in whatever state they work in. And if they work in a different state, you have to be licensed in that state. So I actually don't know if Teladoc or Amwell, those companies, have been able to benefit from that. I don't know if they changed legislation on that perspective.
Yeah, I will agree with the easiness on things. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at some stuff on Mobi Health around getting FDA clearance on de novo clearance on something called Oxa Health Vital Signs System. So de novo clearance is given to products by the FDA if they're a novel medical device or a novel kind of product. They were given this recently, according to Mobi Health. And what's interesting about this software is it's built off of an Oxford University spinoff called OxaHealth, and it estimates pulse rate, heart rate, respiratory rate, all from a video camera.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting, Nico, and I'm sure your mind is just immediately ticked off, is we had a similar guest come on and have very similar technology. In fact, you can use it right now as a tutorial and see your heart rate in real time. Brain works. And so that's awesome that we're seeing things like this get cleared, where I feel maybe pre-pandemic would have been a lot harder and probably a lot longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then for anyone that might be thinking about, okay, why do I need video or stuff that to take those measurements? That is significantly easier than outfitting at home. Basically opens up this whole new world of at-home care, in-home care, patient care, elderly care, people who need to be measured constantly, but it might be time intensive to actually take their measurements. If you have to take the vitals of everyone in an elderly home, that's a lot of labor, versus everyone just has a camera that they can walk in front of almost as if they're checking their weight on a scale. One of mm-hmm. the interesting use cases they talked about in BrainWorks, for those of you who might not have seen the episode, I highly recommend you check it out, was the fact that so many infections in hospitals are actually caused by the equipment that they use for vital measurements and things that, just because they're really hard to clean. Because I think it's MRSA. It's not uncommon for people to catch things when they're in the hospital. And so one of that is the sharing of equipment and using things. So if you have a camera, you can actually, and take all these vitals, you actually remove the need for a lot of this equipment, which is really cool.
I have two things on this, because this whole thing about cameras, it's so powerful when you mix AI with cameras in the health world. And so I'm continuing on this Mobi Health article. And what they're saying is that the FDA has been a pretty good proponent recently of the use of vital sign monitors and trying to increase mm-hmm. remote care capabilities using AI and cameras. And Oxa Health is actually, it might be competing with more kind of tech that's been rolled out by Google. So Google mm-hmm. Fit, I've not heard of this. It is a mobile health app that was launched out by Google to try to increase wellness at home, mm-hmm. very similar to what you're talking about, remote care. And they're doing something around vital signs and getting picked up by AI through the use of camera. Mm-hmm. And that was my first thing. My second thing was exactly what you said on medical devices. It's so weird. Yesterday, I was watching a documentary on the emergency room and mm-hmm. on how doctors can try to prioritize people as they're coming into the emergency room. And so sometimes the person that seems fine in one moment actually becomes a pretty critical patient in the next moment. The thing is, they're not actively monitoring their vital signs sometimes in the actual ER or in sometimes just in a waiting room area. And so I was wondering, is there a way to proxy a doctor's decision-making using cameras versus them having to make all these spot-on decisions and take so much time per person? Can we use cameras to help doctors in the field? That's really real-time care, but preventative care as well. I think sometimes I've only thought about this kind of stuff for preventative, taking care of yourself, wellness, personal wellness. But doctors definitely need these tools too in the real kind of applicable time. That's not what I'm trying to say. In real-time scenarios, doctors can definitely need these tools because there's so many questions. I feel you're saving time and it's also helpful for you to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. No, that's really cool. I didn't think of it in that perspective. Yes. So going back to the funding perspective, something I want to talk about was Tiger Global shopping spree in the past few months. Tiger Global kind of came out of, at least for me, I think for most people, out of the woodwork, where one day didn't know anything about them. All of a sudden, I was just hearing about them all the time. It was founded back in 2001, but mm-hmm. I had never heard of them until late last year. They've just been on a spending spree when it comes to investing. So they've actually invested in 9 different digital health companies in the past 3 months. So they've invested in Hinge Health, not to be confused with the dating app, Komodo, Cedar, Dispatch Health, CityBlock, Sidecar, Innova Vessier, Right Way, and Carum Health. Those probably mean nothing because they didn't mean anything to me. But we have Hinge Health, which is a startup platform that uses wearable sensors and one-on-one health coaching to deliver in-home musculoskeletal therapy, also known as MSK. That was one. Then we have Komodo Health, which is an artificial intelligence platform that combines de-identified healthcare data from hundreds of sources and more than 325 individual patients. Basically, it allows companies to get a real-time view into the patient healthcare journeys to help life science companies and payers detect disparities in care and identify interventions. And I'm just reading their descriptions from online. They had Cedar Health as well, which is a company focused on modernizing medical billing, and then GE Ventures, which makes sense given their whole GE Health, which I think might have been spun out, actually. No, GE Health was spun out a few years ago. So that's interesting. So I would love to see what that list looks like right now. But if I had to guess, Tiger's going to be on that top 5 or top 10. We'll see, just because I now know that because of COVID, everyone wants to get in the digital health space.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I'm also looking at some of these lists that part of the $7 billion of this quarter. And there was one company called Forward. They had some really good VCs here, SoftBank Vision Fund, Founders Fund. But what's interesting is you're talking about new investors. The Weeknd actually invested in this company. And what they're trying to do is in 12 minutes, you can get a biometric body scan, you can get genetic testing, and you can get real-time blood testing, all in 12 minutes. Now imagine, this thing goes to market, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to prevent myself, God willing, prevent all these types of bad from happening. Mm-hmm. And wellness can sometimes only take you to a certain extent. Sometimes you don't know what you have. We were just talking about this with diabetes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just don't know you have it when you start to lose weight and maybe notice mood swings, stuff like that. Imagine every week I go, or every month I go, mm-hmm. and I get this kind of forward, I don't know what you would call it, the forward test, and just check myself every month. I feel that's so preventative. That's incredibly disruptive.
No, absolutely. I'm just curious. And that's the thing, right? You can make, if there are doctors in the audience, feel free to correct me. More data points is usually better when it helps you make decisions.
I know if I have something bad, a heart disease, something that doesn't get caught sometimes. Like you think that your stomach hurts and you just always had stomach problems, but you don't check it and you've been living your life and then suddenly you have, God forbid, something really horrible. I feel this is just an easy way of just quickly checking yourself.
Interesting. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess there's one thing. I don't know if it's an adage and I don't know if it's real, but I thought I read somewhere in a book, if you keep testing for things in a hospital setting, you're going to eventually find mm-hmm. something, for better or for worse, a false positive. Mm-hmm. So I would love mm-hmm. if you have anyone in the audience, because you could, maybe you keep, if you keep checking and testing for things, maybe you find something, but maybe it's not actually a thing. I mean, it's just a rabbit hole. But I think for the most part, being able to track other things, metabolism, I'm looking at their website, blood pressure, weight loss, stuff like that is always a good thing. And I'm checking their prices. They're actually offering this all-in-one kind of service for about, it looks $149 a month.
Wow.
And they take HSAs and FSAs as well, which is really cool.
That is awesome. I like it. I like the new investment in the space. I like that there's increased investment. You said 200%. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
It only, to me, what it means is that we can actually get these innovations to people at faster speeds. Why not make the planet healthier? Why not? Why not bring innovation there? So it seems like there's tons of investment in the space. And what's interesting is of these kinds of investments, it looks only 14% were given to female founders. And I think that's really interesting too. And it's something to keep in mind for our next episode on women-led startups, on femtech, and mm-hmm. its impact on digital health. And I know Nico, huge proponent of that. I can't wait to hear more of your thoughts and for us to dig deeper into it.
Yeah, a lot of work to be done for sure. Also, if you're a woman founder in the digital health space, reach out to us because we would love to talk to you about potentially having you on the show, learn a bit more about your experience and what that's been like trying to raise money within this space.
Absolutely. I think of the entire of our show so far, we maybe had two female co-founders mm-hmm. and we'd love for more. That is what we're here for.
If you made it this far in the episode, congratulations. You're one of our super fans. If you go to our podcast website, you can find our email. And if you reach out to us via email with one of your takeaways from today's episode, we'll give you a free 30-minute call where we'll answer any and all questions you have around digital health or startups.
Anderson Horowitz, these huge people that come in and do tech investments, and they're very well known. But in digital health, personally, I don't know the top three. I assume it would just be the tech investors. But I don't think there is just one person that has been the go-to person, or the go-to, by person, I mean the like institutions, but like the go-to VC mm-hmm. for funding in this space. And maybe that's what Tiger's trying to do.
Yeah, could be. It's hard because I know they have been, they're doing something ridiculous where they're investing in one company every 48 hours or something is what they're averaging, which is crazy. So I think they're just taking shots all across the board. And mm-hmm. they're just not overlooking digital health. So it looks, I'm doing a quick Google search. It looks like for top investors, up until 2016, you had Rock Health as number one, Coastal Venture is number two, then Qualcomm Ventures, KBCB, GV.
Yep. Google Ventures?